Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Astros win in extra innings yesterday. Spurs beat the Knicks. And I am officially a Spurs fan. These idiots in New York beating up everybody who has a Spurs jersey on. You can root for your team, but a guy's walking down the street in New York with a Spurs jersey on, and he gets beat up.
Because of the world we live in, I have to question which ones are real and which ones are fake. I think the guy who got punched, I think he was wearing like a Duncan jersey or something. I think that one's real. But there are some I feel like are plants. Like, we're creating content here. Hey, put on this jersey. We'll rip it off you. We won't really hurt you. We'll stomp on this jersey.
The two I saw were not, because they were swinging on this one guy. And the one we just saw was 100%.
There's this young kid. Well, young. He's probably 19, 20, whatever. He's got a Wimby jersey on. They rip it off of him. Not a punch is thrown, and then the guys start stomping on it. They start filming it. I think the ones where I saw a guy get hit. That one was real.
Well, this one guy's got a Duncan jersey on.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. They got after him really badly, yeah. Which is crazy. I would not. Or it's all about, hey, if you let us rip this jersey off of you, we won't punch you. But the guy, and I understand it, he goes, you're not taking my jersey. I'm going to fight back. And he punched a couple guys, and then the whole crowd just swarmed on him. And I talked about it 2 weeks ago. The Knicks themselves, they're likable. The players, yeah. I got no problems with them. If not for everything surrounding them, I would root for them too. I don't want the Spurs to win. But everything that surrounds the actual team, how could you like it?
They're getting worse and worse too. I mean, first of all, never seen anything like...
What's a mob mentality?
The Game 2 celebration.
It's that mob mentality.
It's game two.
When people are psychologists talk about when you have normal behavior in individual or small pockets of people, it turns into just abnormal behavior when you get a bunch of people hyped up and you see bad behavior and you start to feel like it's justified and you jump in with it. It's terrible. If you saw this, it's just ridiculous. Guys in Spurs jerseys just trying to walk through the streets, because you're in New York, that's all you can do. This isn't like... You're at Toyota Center. Well, everywhere you have to kind of walk out at least into a, you know, for a certain amount of space. But this isn't one where you just get picked up by an Uber around the location. You're just walking through the streets of New York till you get to the subway, and then you're going to have to fade the subway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, basically they just made it, you can't wear your team's jersey over there. You're just going to get beat up.
Yep.
And there will be a bunch of stuff. New York, this is New York leadership is going to come out and say stuff. This is horrible. They'll say something. And now the cops will actually be on the lookout in game four. But you saw them. Cops were just letting stuff go on.
they were like NHL refs.
They were like NHL refs, just letting people get beat up. And then they jump in later.
Then they jumped in. Sam Presti, the general manager of Oklahoma City, he's the best general manager in basketball? Sam Presti?
I think so,
yeah. Probably.
Because this isn't like new.
Yeah.
He built that team. The only questionable move he made was what he got for James Harden when he traded him to the Rockets. He didn't get enough for that trade, but other than that, he's built this whole thing up.
Here's what he had to say about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He's playing against six people. He's got five defenders, and the sixth defender is social media. That's a reality. He's not going to be the last player that the machine decides to target, but no one's going to handle it as gracefully, because when they turn it on somebody else, they're not going to step up there every night and not acknowledge it. We haven't seen Shay say anything about. I mean, there are so many memes of him falling, of, you know, every single time he's fallen off the boat. Charles had him falling off the boat. You know, they when they went, they're going fishing. They had Chet. That was ugly what they did to Chet. But you know, Shay was falling down off the boat. He has built himself a reputation, reservedly so, the way that he plays. You agree with him that he's playing that he is? Is there anybody right now playing that gets as much social media scrutiny as Shay?
No.
James Harden does.
He's brought it. He did not.
He
as much
still
now.
No. He caught it in that series. James caught it, and especially after Game one,
he does,
where he just fell apart.
Like a lot of the Jackals have already, they fed off the carcass. We've done this before. Oh, James can't guard.
Yeah, right.
We know that.
Yeah, but social media is squarely against him because, well, no, but he deservedly so.
The SGA is massive. Yeah. Like James was trending like almost every game for falling on the ground. Like it was, no, he is highly scrutinized. The problem is for him, it's gone to 85% negativity. It's mostly the negative stuff because he's already established himself as an MVP, not only an MVP, a two-time MVP. And so now what is it going to be about? Well, you've got that. We've acknowledged you're a really great player. Why are you doing this if you're a really great player? It's to the point now where he really needs to stop. Like it's getting, because he's so scrutinized, every time he hits the deck, there's somebody recording it and clipping it, and they're going to show it. I would think it would hurt him.
And we haven't seen him address it, have we?
No. What is he going to say? Oh, no, I actually did fall down there.
I know.
I was knocked to the ground.
Well, does the media ask him about it, though? I don't even know. Do they ask him, hey, you know, a lot of people think you flop all the time.
Sure, he's been asked.
I'm sure
I haven't seen him address it.
I'm sure he has. I just haven't seen him address it either. But that's what Sam Presti says, is that he doesn't even acknowledge it. They're not going to step up there every night and not acknowledge how they're being scrutinized on a daily basis. And as much scrutiny as he gets, I don't think there's anybody else in sports that gets as much social media negativity as SGA, right? I can't think of it.
Trying to think. I mean,
second would be James.
He's way up there. I mean, basketball lends itself to much more. You have 82 games. Baseball just doesn't get as much attention, 162 games. Basketball is 82 games. Football is 17 plus.
Anthony Volpe catches it. Oh, Angel Reese catches it.
Yeah,
she catches quite a bit.
Yeah, Angel
Reese. She catches quite a bit.
Angel Reese does, but not to this level.
No, well, because it's women's basketball.
It's not on the same platform.
But.
No, he's the most. Right now, he's the most. In the NBA, it's SGA. Partially because he's really good, but mostly right now it's because everyone has jumped on the flop thing. And there's so many clips out there. For people who don't watch as much and didn't know how much he flopped, it's being put in your face. And sometimes to the point where it's, you know, the scary thing is it's all from one game. Like, you can't just say you're just clip farming because you're just grabbing. You know, you're grabbing a clip from this game, and you put them all together and make them look really bad. It's usually from one single game. You can find 6 to 8 times he's fallen on the ground where he hasn't been touched.
Well, not one single game, but he does it every game, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying you can grab clips from a single game and put them together as 8 clips.
But not just one.
No.
Every time he plays.
Every game there's a new. You're relitigating you know, I don't want to say a fraud. He's not a fraud. It's just he's gone over the top with this call selling stuff. He's just way over the top.
Yep.
You know who else used to flop a lot and who wasn't called for it because everyone loved him is Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson, do you remember how often he would hit the ground? He'd come off picks, and if you touched him, he'd hit the ground. And people would talk about how he's beating himself up by falling to the ground. He's, you know, he's going to injure himself. Allen Iverson would, and this is early 2000s, Allen Iverson, if you got too physical with him, he would. Now, not to this extent. I'm not claiming. You would have to have contact. He would sell contact. SGA is selling non-contact. He's selling anticipated contact. That's why it's a level that I've never seen. James Harden would try to draw when James wasn't sure what he was going to do as he's driving to the basket, you know, he'd stick his arms out and try to get under your arms and just fling his hands into the air and the ball would go flying. And if the referee didn't call, it's just turnover.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he used to flop, but he wasn't scrutinized. No, well, there was no social media like this anyway, but when he played. So, I can't think of, like, why are baseball players not scrutinized like this? I guess, Anthony Volpe catches it. Volpe catches plenty in New York. I guess it's not a national
thing. Not like this, no.
It's not a national thing.
Altuve catches it.
Altuve catches it only because of John Boy. Altuve catches it because...
Not as much now as he used to.
No. You don't see that. And football. Shador?
Yeah, he catches a lot. Shador catches it? Yeah.
Shador catches
it. No, he catches the negativity for sure.
Yeah.
I would say in football, he's probably number one.
Probably.
Well, but he's number one both ways where people...
Jersey sales.
Will promote him and then they get after him.
So, yep. And rightfully so. He should be the number one jersey seller. I mean, what... He was a Pro Bowl quarterback. He had himself huge season. Now a guy who hasn't played in 5 years is probably going to beat him out.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. A guy who has been plenty scrutinized. Deshaun catches it a little bit. Anytime there's a towel.
Lamar and Josh Allen both catch it. It's usually, of course, C.J. Stroud catches it.
Oh, yeah.
C.J. catches it a lot here locally.
Yep. Yeah.
Not so much nationally. You're right.
CJ catches it
nationally. He did during the playoffs.
Yes.
During the playoffs, he did.
Yep.
But that's when there's, you know, an amalgamation of viewers and attention.
I don't think we're allowed to say CJ caught it during the playoffs because of what he did. Caught it is like almost we're suggesting someone's being persecuted. What did CJ do to not
pointing
it out. He did everything possible for people to go, man, that's pretty bad what he's doing out there.
Right.
He didn't catch it. He got the right amount of slander.
No, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you perform like he did.
Yeah. If you...
He deserved,
as long as you weren't being personal about it, he caught everything he deserved.
Does
after what
SGA
he did.
Catch everything he deserves?
I think so.
You know, I think... He's a great player, and he does have an unethical style of basketball. I do think it's overboard when people pretend like he wouldn't be a great player if he didn't do the stuff he did. That's what's most upsetting. You could just be a great player by not initiating is fine. People do that, but not overemphasizing contact. It's more a referee thing because I don't know what the problem is. They can't officiate their own sport. They're cowards. They won't just let the MVP hit the ground and say, that's not a foul. Like, the way they treat most guys in this final series where you have to get mugged to get a call, maybe SGA needs those rules because you can't trust that he's actually getting fouled because of how he operates. My biggest issue is he's a great player. Just be a great player.
Yeah, you don't need this stuff.
Yeah, you would be a great player without it. And because of the way you play, you're going to get fouled anyway. It's hard to guard you. But then the fall in, the head being thrown back, it's all unethical. And I think he catches what he catches, and he deserves it. As long as it's about basketball, you don't have to get personal with anyone.
Well, he's not Euro, but he's not from this country, so
he's Canadian. So you think
that's why he learned that stuff?
You think he learned the head snapback? James does the head snapback, and he's from California.
He's from Calgary.
James is not from Calgary.
James was born in Calgary.
He was not born in Calgary. Calgary.
Probably.
Well, I think there's a pretty good chance.
We can all look that up.
Ottawa.
We can all look that up.
He was born in Ottawa. He grew up watching hockey.
Can't. It's impossible to know.
No, it's not impossible at all. Type in James Harden right now. You'll find where he was born in 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's probably Canada.
Look at that. Born Los Angeles, California. Right there.
Or Los Angeles, Yugoslavia.
That's not a place. He went to. In fact, Yugoslavia doesn't exist anymore. He went to Arteza High School.
When he did, Arizona when he was State, born.
I don't think he was born in Yugoslavia. You think James would have a good time in Yugoslavia?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
No one knows.
There seems to be some issues ethnic stuff there, how people get treated there. I don't know that James would have a great time in Yugoslavia when he was born. You think James in the mid-90s would have had a great time in Yugoslavia?
No.
Probably not.
I was a kid, but I remember...
Well, he got out of Los Angeles.
I was a kid, but I remember hearing a lot of war-torn Yugoslavia in the 90s.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that. Childish Altuve wants to know if you're sending Chad's private jet to evacuate Frankie out of New York. No. She's not going to wear a Spurs jersey there.
She'll be fine.
She's not wearing a Spurs jersey. She loves. I just touched her. Here's what I said to her. I said, there are a bunch of videos of people getting beat up in New York because they're wearing a Spurs jersey. Your people suck.
And she's, you're already putting them on you.
And she said, looked exactly like an LSU game. My people rock.
Exactly like LSU an LSU
people
game.
Beat up people who don't.
Oh, yeah. They're idiots, too.
Wow.
Yeah, both idiots. LSU and New York. Both idiots. All idiot teams. All idiot places.
Maybe they should just stick to this.
Yeah.
LSU fan came stuck his thing in my booty.
All right, we're breaking. 703-780-3776 is the number. I'm talking HRP. I'm talking about my peeps over at HRP. I'm talking about you and your business. You're driving to work right now. You are not making as much money as you possibly can. Your bottom line is like, wait a minute, what's going on? Our sales are great. We're just not making as much as we can. What's going on? What about our expenses? What about how much are we paying for payroll? How much are we paying for HR? How much are we paying for accountants for our taxes? How much are we paying in our 401k? Do you have an admin company? Because if you have an admin company, chances are you're paying that admin company too much. There's a very good chance that that's happened. Have you looked at it? Have you scrutinized exactly what they're doing and how much you're spending on that? Well, but they do payroll cheaper. Yeah, but what are you paying for their 401k or the insurance plan? Because that's where they get you. You didn't know that there's a gotcha there. And the gotcha is that they're going to go look over here and how little you're spending, but then look over here. Don't look over here because you're spending a lot over here. So there's a better way to do it, and that might be HRP. They'll come absolutely free, take a look at your business, break it down, and see where they can save you money, partner with you to be the best that you possibly can. You're looking for a great way to get more money in the bottom line, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, join ESPN 97.5 for our soccer watch parties this Thursday and Friday as we watch soccer games of the biggest soccer games of the year. Thursday, Will Kunkel and then Jeremy and Joe will be broadcasting from 12 to 6 at Rodeo Goat and then join the same crew on Friday at Patterson Park. The ESPN 97.5 soccer watch parties brought to you by Huntington Bank. Soccer watch parties. You guys excited about it coming up? Dale, you're excited. It's going to be every day.
Yeah.
For a month.
That's the greatest part of it. Now, because it's here in our country, reasonable times, I think it's...
Are they all going to be late afternoon or evening games?
There will be two, I believe... The windows are 2 central for us, and then, like, is it 9 p.m.?
Is that what the windows are? The U.S. plays a late game.
I think in our...
Well, because they're in L.A.
West Coast, which Lance has railed against in the past.
Well, Lance is... I mean, he doesn't understand this whole time thing.
Is that the problem? You think he doesn't understand?
Right.
He doesn't have the aptitude for it?
He wants them to
it?
Play at, like, 1 in the afternoon...
Which, to benefit him, of
to
course.
To benefit
He's
him.
Selfish.
What did I do?
So it'll be two on Friday. It'll be Canada at 2 and then 8 p.m. our time, U.S. versus Paraguay. So it'll be 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. And it lasts 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. Well, there'll be the hydration breaks, but it'll be about 2 hours. And then you have Mexico on Thursday against South Africa, which is how the 2010 World Cup opened.
So every window is 2 and 8?
Well, on Thursday, it's 2 and 9. I don't know why it fluctuates, but Thursday, it's 2 and 9. Saturday, it's 3 games, 1 at 2, and then 1 at 5, and then 1 at 8.
So it's mostly 2 and 8.
I guess during the week, maybe it'll be 2 and 8. We can always just keep going forward. But, yeah, it'll be around those times. And I'm ready. Like, you got games on all the time, and then you get a little break in between. You can go get some lunch or dinner and then come back and watch the second slate of games. Be a good time. We can pretend like we love a country we've never heard of as they play soccer.
So during the week, there's only two games. That's the most.
Which is some, I thought back. I thought it was normally.
Yeah, more teams this year too.
Which is weird because I thought it was like two games at one window and then two games at another window. That's what I remember.
Yeah, no, there was at different stages.
I will see if that continues or is that just for the first week or so. No, it's okay. Going forward into the next week, you're going to have three games, one at 2, one at 5, one at 8. As we get deeper into the tournament, it looks like you're going to have more games going at once, but they wanted to highlight some games by themselves early.
Okay. Here's Houston. This says noon. Germany, Curacao is noon.
What day is that? A Sunday?
It's a Sunday. Oh, okay. But Wednesday, noon. Portugal and Congo.
Yeah, it doesn't look like we're going. It doesn't look like anything is permanent. I think as more teams have to get these games in, we're going to have, like, even into next week, you're going to have games at 11, two games at 11, a game at 2, a game at 5, a game at 8. So as they have to get all these games in, we're going to get more games at different times going forward. But I think to open it up, they wanted to get, like, nationally, this is a game, you watch it. And we're going to get the host countries playing in separate windows by themselves.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is.
I don't see. Oh, here's one on the same day that they're playing at the same time, two games at once. But for the most part, it's all.
Yeah. I had to go into the next separated. Week. Like, I had to go into deep into the next week to get those two games at the same time. But, you know, with 48 teams, they're going to have plenty of soccer to watch.
Yeah. I think that this is one central. I think this is. Because it does start with Houston, events near Houston, go tickets. I think it's noon, not in.
Because I'm looking at it off the ESPN site as far as the schedule for the games.
And they say 3 o'clock?
Some of them, like on Saturday, games start at 11, and then another game starts at. Then games will start at noon on Sunday. Wow, this one's at 11 p.m. So they're going to find ways to get all these games in. So don't worry. Outside of like the first 2 days. Generally, if you turn on your television, you're going to find soccer pretty much starting Saturday going forward.
And all on Fox.
Fox and their affiliates. FS1. Like Peacock has some too. So if you stream in Telemundo, of course, you want to listen to it or watch it in Spanish. If you want to hear the great Andres Cantor, he'll be doing the Telemundo games.
If you want to hear the great Glenn Davis.
Yeah, he'll be doing the games here.
Doing here, and he's got a quarterfinal in L.A.
Yeah, we'll talk to Glenn starting.
No, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
When did that come up?
He not long ago.
Because I was asking
him. I texted him and said, hey, I don't think. Because we had talked about it. Maybe I'll get tickets through Wendy, and she just let me down. She disappointed me.
Wendy let you down.
Yeah. And I said, yeah, I'm not going to get any tickets. He goes, that's okay. I'm going to be broadcasting the games.
That's okay.
I was like, what? Oh, did you get me one?
That's
did you
okay,
get, Did
John.
You get me one of those tickets?
That's okay, okay. John.
No?
I'm going to.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Like I said, that's okay. I'm going
that's
to.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. I'll be fine. Don't worry about it, John. Okay.
Yeah, no worries. Some people are going to see the games in person, John, like Glenn Davis. And he'll join us starting on Thursday at 8 o'clock going forward. Every weekday we'll have Glenn Davis starting Thursday to talk about the games. So he'll give us a preview of Mexico versus South Africa and also the U.S. against Paraguay. Paraguay may have lost one of their best forwards in a friendly. So I know you guys love an injury to one of your opponents.
I do.
Yeah,
so
do.
I do. I'm a fan.
He's not expected to miss the entirety of the group stage, but he is expected to miss game one, match one. So that helps the U.S. I know you guys love an injury, so you got one.
Yeah, we're big fans.
I just don't
care. You know what? Oh, sorry, you lost a player.
Does it help make my journey easier? Good.
Yeah.
So
good.
He is. Just by one of the comments, arguably Paraguay's best player stretchered off in the 30th minute in a friendly. Julio Enciso. Winger attacking midfielder.
One
type.
Game? That's all he's going to miss?
No. He's at minimum, he won't be available for the U.S. game. He could miss the entire group.
Speaking of that, have the Astros tried magic spray on any of these entries?
I haven't heard of them
trying magic spray.
Do we know what it actually is?
I don't know, but I've got a spray that I ordered, I think because Instagram tricked me into getting this stuff. It's called Tidal, I think, T-I-D-L. And it is the spray. It's a spray, and it feels cold going on. And
it freezes it?
Yeah.
Perfect.
And it freezes it. And I got that spray. I was thinking, here, I got it for my wife to spray on her knee whenever she's running, you know, marathons. She goes, I'm not using this. I said, well, I guess I just wasted money then because I'm not going to return it because I'm a guy.
No, you don't return anything.
I mean, if you're a guy.
If you return stuff, you don't.
If you're a guy, you just kind of have to just take your lumps. Like, ah, oh, this shirt. I thought I liked this shirt. I don't like it. Well, guess I just lost. I guess I just have to throw it away then. Guess I'll just hang it in this closet and never wear it.
Yep.
I am better now about returning stuff.
Not me.
But, you know what? I got a cassette recorder so I could get Sammy's. I've got Sammy Relford's tape that he made for us.
John Lamb.
Sitting on the bench at 6:10.
Yeah.
Woo! I've got that, and I'm gonna get that taken off. I'm going to get that pulled so we can play it here.
Good. Sitting on a bench at 6:10.
Talking sports is what they do. And he's got background singers, too. He went in studio to have that done.
Yeah. Hi, Sammy. That's our guy. Haven't seen him in 25 years, maybe?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. Been a while, Sam. All right, we figure out what we missed on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. If you want to get in and add anything, 713-780-3776.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here in a hurry, you're more than welcome to do that. We got a question. I can't see who the caller is, Del. But I do know he wants to talk about... Oh, it's TJ. Wants to talk about... D'Amico Ryans. Let's get him in here. Hey, TJ.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How's it going?
Doing well.
I just give D'Amico Ryans a shout out. He be in the city, man. He was on the north side. I ain't going to say too much of where about, but it wasn't on no team official business. He was with his family visiting, I guess. Somehow, some way, he know the neighbors that a friend of mine knows. He's just hanging out, feeling like a normal dude. You wouldn't think an NFL head coach would be out there like that, but He was in the city, so shout out to me.
He is about the realest you're going to find. He is with his family, all
man.
The time, yep. With his family all the time. What you see is what you get with D'Amico. No phony, no fraud, very reserved. Reserved. He's got his own little circle, Texans related. He keeps it inside the lines there, and D'Amico is, I'm proud to have him as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I love D'Amico. I love that he loves this city. And he doesn't make it about him. You know what I like about D'Amico is he's a good looking guy. He's a powerful, he's got a strong personality. Well, not strong. He looks like somebody who commands a room, right? And but it's never about him. It's about his players. It's about the team. D'Amico's one of those guys who sometimes it felt like Saleh became bigger than the team, Robert Saleh. And I'm making a comparison because they kind of had the same vibe.
They're
coming
both
out.
Attractive bald men?
I guess. I mean, maybe that's subconsciously
what
I'm thinking.
Let me ask you something
about,
as
but
you wax
he was
poetic.
The Jets coach.
But he was one of these guys that would fight you. Like, they both strike me as guys that would win in a fight.
He was the Jets coach. You can't count that.
What do you mean?
You can't win there. I mean, you can't. It's like...
It's not that. It's that his personality seemed to overshadow the team sometimes.
Yeah.
D'Amico's never overshadowed
the team. Let's rank the bald men you love.
Oh, here comes a Josh Pate. Get your Josh Pate joke.
Robert
out.
Saleh. You,
here comes
you find a very
Josh
attractive
Pate
man.
Mm-hmm.
D'Amico, you've just waxed poetic. I would ask John to look to his left and see if your pants are still
on. I didn't say Robert Saleh.
Are his shorts still on?
I didn't say Robert Saleh is an attractive man.
I don't know.
He didn't mention
Saleh,
Josh Pate yet.
That's he's on his mind. He always thinks about Josh Pate.
Well,
he always does this,
and
remember?
And then Josh Pate.
Look, I'll hold it below the computer so
fine,
people can't
want,
see.
He does do that.
You don't want to throw in Robert Saleh, fine, but I do know you think he's attractive.
I do know that about you.
He's another great family man, by the way.
Yeah, loves his family.
He's got like 12 kids.
I know.
And
yeah. Unlike a certain Cromartie, he knows all their names.
Yeah.
He's got a good-looking family.
Great-looking family.
Yeah.
So, Robert Saleh's going to have a good-looking wife, and he's going to have good-looking kids.
So let's rank the bald men in your life. Let's rank the bald men in your life.
Okay, go ahead.
Saleh.
Right.
Last.
You do have a type.
D'Amico.
Last.
You have a type.
Josh Pate.
And Josh Pate.
Yeah. Josh Pate second, Saleh. Why is Saleh third? There's got to be somebody ahead of Saleh.
No.
Is there a Rocket or an
Who's a Texan? Bald Rocket that you love?
Is there a Rocket or a Texan?
There's
no bald Rockets.
Well, you bald Clyde. Not, Clyde was bald.
No, but there's not. Yeah, but bald is not a thing for players now. It's
not
actually
not
the opposite.
Anymore, no.
Even having
players
natural,
love hair.
Even having like cut. Yeah.
Players love
you don't
hair.
Even cut it short anymore.
They love the hair.
Players Hair's have to a have a lot of hair now.
I just think
there's
you,
full
you
blown
have a type.
Afros now where people pick it out.
No, I know Jared Allen among them. I'm just glad we got the definitive rankings for the bald men
you
in your life.
You did it.
Well, yeah. You ranked them. You actually went along and ranked them. Saleh,
no,
Pate,
it's D'Amico.
D'Amico's
yeah.
one.
D'Amico's the most
three,
important.
He does
one.
Talk about his physique
He's the
a lot.
Most
yeah,
important
he mentioned
ball
handsome.
Yeah.
Yeah, D'Amico.
In shape.
Yeah,
D'Amico's for whatever reason.
Yeah, D'Amico's a good-looking guy
See?
Who has Again. A lot of who has a lot of mm-hmm. power in the NFL. He could beat up most of the other coaches.
Okay.
He is clearly the leader of men.
And you seem to be someone who gravitates towards a protector.
Well, what I like is that he doesn't.
You like
really,
that D'Amico's a protector?
No. I don't like that. What I like is
he said
that
he could beat up everybody.
He does. Well, it's just a fact. It's just a fact he could beat
seems
up the other coaches.
An attractive quality.
We had that. But he doesn't. Well, he and Saleh are considered the two, and Vrabel, I would say, are the
yeah,
three
it's not,
biggest.
It's not your type. He's not bald.
Fight,
no, he's
types.
Not. You yeah. know, by the way, better guy, D'Amico or Vrabel?
I mean, let's be honest.
Better guy, D'Amico or
I mean,
Urban Meyer?
You know.
Better guy.
No, Urban's the question is the better league. Guy, Urban or Vrabel?
Or Vrabel.
Yeah, that's a,
wow, now that's
Ohio,
a fight.
Both Ohio
there's
State guys.
There's a fight right there
yeah.
going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's the better guy?
Now, Ooh. D'Amico doesn't, but to my point, he doesn't make it about him, mm-hmm. ever. His personality doesn't make it about him.
Right.
Like, Robert Saleh's personality made it about, you've got a soundbite of Robert Saleh. If you ain't
you
got
know,
no haters, you ain't popping. Who hates on D'Amico? Who hates on D'Amico?
He's provided no reasons for that.
That's what
no.
I'm saying, because his personality is not
No,
that.
I mean, no. The only people, you know, only reason you hate on Robert Saleh because he didn't win enough. It's not about his personality.
You know what, though? That's a Texan coach thing. Gary Kubiak was never about him.
Here we go.
Dom Capers was
Ooh,
never about him.
We, almost a Texans coach. It was never about Lovie Smith.
It was never about Cully.
Cully didn't want it about him.
It was never about this guy.
There's that. Forgot about that one.
And there's that one.
I did. I actually forgot about
it. Did you really? Yeah. I thought you were setting up an elaborate
That's what
joke.
I thought. When I said, here we go, I thought he was setting up the Bill O'Brien
joke. No, it's a joke. That's why I worked backwards.
I actually forgot.
I worked backwards.
I went Dom and... Yeah.
I went Lovie Smith and then Cully so I could lead you right into... Oh, lead into
forgot
the,
about him.
Where that guy was
Other
all
than,
about him.
Yeah, it was about him.
No, Brian, that's not what we're saying, Brian. Maybe if you were out here a little bit more, maybe if you weren't so dead set on us losing every game, Brian. Mm-hmm. I just ask a question about whether or not you guys planned on doing the same things defensively that you did in the first game.
I'm although,
to be fair, Brian T. Smith would kind of be an irritant.
9-7.
Ain't.
AFC South.
That's not the standard, Brian.
It's not the standard, Brian.
Yeah. Brian caught it a lot.
He did.
But Brian, yeah. Aaron didn't catch it as much. It was Brian and Aaron, right?
Yeah, Aaron Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill wasn't a big Aaron Wilson fan. I'm going to be honest with you.
No.
Doesn't matter, Brian. But AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, my God.
You clearly did.
Those two. One was just an irritant, Brian T. Smith, and the other one was, well, Bill. The other one,
yeah,
was,
one
Bill.
Was Bill.
I told my son, you know, my son graduated from Alabama, but he's going to work at Alabama another year. He works directly with the O-line coach, Adrian Klim. And I told my son to ask Bob Melton, who's there. Because the story goes, a scout with the Colts helped us get in and get a tour of the facility with a guy who named Bob Melton, who is kind of the pro liaison. He's a liaison between the program and the NFL scouts. And Jamie goes, I said, my son, I want my son to go to Alabama because he's got a full scholarship there. I need you to help me out, Jamie. Get us a look at the athletic facility. He's a big sports fan. He goes, yeah, when you make your visit, let me make a call. Yeah, okay, I got you hooked up. So we're walking. So it's me, him, and his mom. Me, Alec, and his mom, and my wife. And we're walking through the facility, and Bob Melton's taking us to see this and that. And it's, you know, it's really cool. Then as he's going into the little cafeteria where the players all go, we walk right past Bill O'Brien, who's coming out. And Bill O'Brien sees us. And he didn't say anything. It's just a real quick glance. And the guy, Bob Melton, was real cool, and he's talking to Alec. He goes, yeah, maybe if you are interested. He goes, you're interested in doing stuff in the football side? He goes, yeah. He goes, well, maybe we'll get you in here working with one of the coaches. Yeah, that'd be great. I text him a couple days later, nothing. And I didn't hear from the rest of the year. Like, he's a ghost. And I know for a fact. I don't know for a fact. But I'm thinking Bill O'Brien is the one. He saw it was me and said, make sure
that kid, that
his son, has no. Because as soon as Bill left the next year, a guy named Burton Burns, who was the right hand man of Nick Saban for years, Burton owes a lot to my dad for teaching him inside outside zone and blah blah blah. He goes, hey Lance, I heard your son's going to. How does he like it? I said, hey, he likes it. He goes, is he in the football side? He goes, nah. I said, you know, he wanted to get in, but we never heard back from him. He goes, well, let me make a phone call the next day. Hey, Lance, it's Burton. Yeah, tell him to come in next Tuesday. He's got a spot now. Like, okay. So that's how he got in. But that's after Bill was gone. I'm pretty sure Bill O'Brien, mad that I was saying he was a bad general manager and the fact that I challenged him when we were all at the, the little rebrand Bill is this really super cool guy that was really friendly to hang out and drink beers with. And I just asked him about, why would you take on David Johnson's contract? Why didn't you get more for, you know, the questions we weren't able to get to because of COVID that year. And ever since, and then he called me on my phone. And I know
I don't even know what you do, Lance.
Why are you so mad? I thought we were good. I thought we were okay.
Do you think of Bill?
And I know Jack was in the car, like, laughing and giggling.
Mm-hmm. Do you think of both those guys? Tell him you don't know
what he does. It's going to cut him deep.
Particularly, I don't even know what you do.
You think if Bill O'Brien completely came home and shaved his head, you like him more?
Let's get Dan in here.
If he shaved it all the way off, would you like him more?
He doesn't have that look.
Okay.
No, Bill O'Brien doesn't have that look.
Does have the chin.
He does have a chin, a chiseled chin.
Yeah.
Dan has a bone to pick with D'Amico. Here's somebody that's got.
What?
Yeah. Let's see. What's up, Dan?
I mean, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yes, he's an all-pro linebacker, former pro bowler, built to one of the most devastating wrecking shop defenses in the league today.
Right.
But. I mean, if we're going to hate on him, there is one thing that I brought up on the show, you know, a few months back about his failure to bench a quarterback after three quarters and five interceptions and five fumbles. Like, I mean, that's the only thing. I just want him to send a message to the guy when he's not performing, something to light a fire. That's traditionally been, you know, it doesn't mean he's not going to start the next week. All of that, you know, it's just we cannot go into this season with a long leash on our quarterback with this defense. And that's it. I mean, hey, I love the guy, but one thing, that's it.
You wanted him to pull CJ.
Him and the rest of the city at that time.
Yeah. I can see that. Well, but here's the deal. And it's not like Davis Mills isn't on the team, but he's got a loyalty to CJ. That's your starting quarterback. You're going to be – now, is he that consistent with the rest every other position?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the answer is no.
No one treats the quarterback the same way.
No.
Particularly an established one.
Well, but when your quarterback – if I don't care who it is, if you're hurting your team, which CJ was doing.
He was.
CJ was hurting his team. That you to a man, though, you hear everybody talking about CJ this offseason. Like, Bullock was just asked, and he was like, he's that guy. He's the guy. Okay. There's no question. CJ's our guy.
Mm-hmm.
CJ is the man. Blah, 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 blah. I don't. Would he have done damage to CJ in that locker room had he pulled him in the playoffs?
I mean, it would have changed. I don't know the locker room, so I can't speak to that. The perception of CJ Stroud, if he got pulled from a game that Davis Mills came in and won, is there any way you could start CJ in the next game? Like, because you heard Dan say, not saying you can't play him again.
Yeah.
But that used to happen back in the day, Dell. You used to be able to pull quarterbacks.
But should you have, considering the playoff run he was on, should you have? If Davis Mills found a way, because let's say D'Amico pulls CJ at the half. It's 21-10. And Davis Mills finds a way to win that game. Considering CJ's first, what was it, six quarters of playoff football, should he have played against Denver?
Probably not. No. You can still start CJ.
But should he have played? Not could you. Should he have played against Denver?
If he pulls that out?
If Davis Mills pulls out double-digit deficit.
It's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a conundrum.
So these are the things a coach has to take into account when he's trying to manage personalities in a locker room.
But what's more important,
the win
or?
Yes, but I can't pretend like that's the only thing going through a coach's mind. Clearly, he wants to win. Like, if Ime was the coach of the Texans, he would have pulled CJ. But he would have done it. But D'Amico, that's franchise-changing stuff if you bench your starter and the backup comes in and wins. Now all these things about how CJ's locked in and ready to go, we would have a different conversation. There'd be a much different conversation about what's going on with the Texans if Davis Mills got to play.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That is true. But oh, by the way, well, here's the deal, though. Okay, does he have the loyalty to CJ? Hey, when contract comes up, is CJ going to have the loyalty to the organization after what D'Amico did for him this postseason?
What does loyalty mean?
Loyalty means...
It's okay for you to... Let's just be fair. Let's be honest about this. It's okay for a quarterback to try to, or any player to get
as much as
the most money that he can.
Okay, what about the loyalty with the same agent that Deshaun showed to this organization?
Right.
Signed a $25 million signing bonus, never played again. Did not play again for the team.
Right.
After signing a huge deal, was so happy, never played it down again. Worked his way out of here and... You know, it was a good thing, too, because you got all those picks and everything else. But, man, it was talk about a mess and no loyalty whatsoever to a team that just gave him $25 million. And that's the same agent
right.
that CJ has.
Right.
He ain't got no – these hoes ain't loyal.
I don't think we're going to have that problem because what's happened to CJ in the playoffs is an anomaly. That's not who he normally is. Even when we question some of his performances, he's not a high turnover guy. We're not going to see that in the
–
Well, I'm
– Well, yeah. Why are you making that assumption?
That's not who he is in the regular season. He doesn't turn the ball over at that rate.
I don't think we'll see it, but I'm not going to rule it out.
I don't – well, somehow, some way, more positive about CJ, optimistic than you are, which is weird for me. So I don't think we'll have to worry about it. It'll be more about what John just talked about. Contract-wise, will he play up to a number that he thinks he deserves versus what the Texans thinks he deserves? Mm-hmm. I think that'll be the bigger question. As far as him playing all year, I think he'll play fine. But will fine be enough? Because we have a defense where it should be. We have a defense where fine possibly could be enough. And can CJ step up a couple times when he's needed if the defense is not having a great game in a playoffs because just someone's got their number? Those are the questions he'll have to answer. But this is a playoff team. He'll have to answer those questions January.
Listen, the pressure is going to be on mightily in that playoff game, the Texans' first playoff game this year.
Yeah.
And maybe not the first, but the second. That's where things fall apart. It is going to mount drastically if they win that first playoff game again this year, which is what they do.
There's a hump that they can't get over, and if your quarterback can't do it for the fourth consecutive year, that's a problem for him and the contract negotiations, particularly if he's at fault like he was this past season.
Yep. All right, let's break. News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
Wow. A Los Angeles homeowner got quite a surprise while cleaning out her garage this week. She opened an old freezer and found 20 sticks of live dynamite. This is close to my house, Valley Glen, in the Valley Glen neighborhood. Do you think that people should have 20 sticks of dynamite?
Mm-mm.
Dude, near my house.
Mm-mm.
That could be horrible. Tom Brady has a new drink out. Have you seen this?
No.
Oh, yeah. He's got a new drink. He's got a business, a video. He's got a video on Instagram announcing his latest business venture. It's coconut. It's
Before
a
you
coconut.
Tell him the name, John, let me ask a question.
Yeah.
Lance, is there ever enough money for someone to have? Is there ever too much?
Is there ever too much money?
Do you think
money?
There's ever a time where there's just too much money for someone to have?
You mean for a single person?
For anyone.
Probably. Yeah. Probably so, yeah.
Yeah. This is a prime example where I ask, why, Tom? Why? Tell him the name, John.
Well, it's available in three delicious, all-natural flavors,
okay,
including the only certified organic chocolate coconut water.
Okay.
And he said, tag a friend who needs a good nut. It's called Good Nut. Do you
Tom,
want a good nut?
Tom, what are we doing? Now we're just doing jokes on people? He's literally lending his name to something.
Do you want to have a good nut or
name,
not?
He's in the commercials. He's part of the whole promo tour.
Hey, Tom, should I really have him? Absolutely. You should try D's.
You should try
D's good nuts.
Do you want to have a good nut or
D's
not? You haven't answered.
Good nuts.
Answer the question.
No.
You don't want to have a good nut?
Nope.
Okay. I do. Chocolate coconut water?
Are you going to drink chocolate coconut good nut?
I'm going to drink. I want a good nut.
Careful.
I mean, I don't
He's
know.
He's going to save it.
He already said it. He already just said it. I want to. He did it already.
Yes. Yes. I mean, who doesn't? Who doesn't?
Tom, come on. Enough. You're the Raiders owner. You have this level of respectability. You're the greatest quarterback of all time. Why would you? Who's looking for you to sell coconut water? Why would I buy coconut water from Tom Brady?
If it's really good, even still, if I'm Tom Brady, I'm like, can we change the name?
Yeah, yeah. Look,
or he thought, this is funny.
He's got enough. He's got that type of smirk on in the commercial. He's got enough of a name that those chowder heads will just buy his stuff anyway. He doesn't have to put those mass holes will just buy it. He doesn't have to give the name Good Nut to the coconut water. They'll just buy Tom's stuff. They'll buy Tommy's stuff.
Yeah. Target, wow, has to recall baby wipes. And here's why. The recall Up and Up fragrance free and Up and Up fresh cucumber scented baby wipes could have life-threatening bacteria. Do you feel like...
Wow, life-threatening bacteria.
Yes. Do you feel like you should wipe your baby with Up and Up? First of all, it's not supposed to be Up and Up. Well, if it's a girl, you're supposed to wipe down, right? Yeah. Right? Anyway, I don't feel like it's the best product to use on your baby
for
if it has life-threatening bacteria.
No, I typically try to stay away from that stuff.
I never heard of Up and Up, but you know what? Now I've heard of it. I think that's a bad business plan, having life-threatening bacteria in your baby
wipe. It's not ideal.
I don't think that's...
It's not ideal.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You think that wouldn't sell that? That wouldn't be a good sell to mothers?
I don't know. I don't... Like,
and parents?
Like when we had ice cream with all that... But oh, they were able to survive it, though.
Yeah. Well, but this is actually your baby could die. That's not great.
No, but
not typically.
What was in the
Listeria? What
was in the ice cream?
Yeah, Listeria.
Listeria.
Yeah, it was Bluebell.
Bluebell.
Bluebell had that for a while.
Yeah, that's not. That's
and
not
it took,
a good.
Took Blue, no, it took Bluebell off the shelves for a while.
Yeah, that's not a good business plan either.
Listeria
in your ice cream?
No.
I think that's a bad business.
Not a good business.
No. All right. We got to go. Mopey and Mapes are next right here.
Actually, we've got a special guest.
Hope you enjoyed the
show. Whoa. What?
No Mapes. What? Mapes has to help out our good friend, I believe, Glenn Davis. So it's going to be a special appearance by Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll?
Michael Carroll.
Is he producing? Oh, does he have any new movies that he wants to talk about?
He sat down and watched, what's the new Steven Spielberg movie? It's not Decision Day. No,
Super Bad 2.
No, it's not. It got Emily Blunt in it.
Disclosure Day.
He saw it.
Oh, wait. Disclosure Day. What is that one?
It's the Spielberg movie that's coming out.
No, but who's in it? Yeah,
Emily Blunt. A lot of English people.
No, What's it about?
I wanted to see that one. I can't remember who's in it, though.
Well, it appears that aliens come down, or they've always been here, and they reveal themselves through all these people who we thought were like humans. Like Emily Blunt plays like a news anchor, and then
she's an alien.
Should I go see Obsession?
Did you see Obsession? I've seen it, yes.
Is it worth going to?
I like it. The first 20 minutes, or last 20 minutes, are crazy. It takes the movie to a whole different level.
In a good way?
If you like what happens.
What else is good at a theater? I haven't seen
like
a movie.
Like The Departed?
Kind of, where you're going along, okay, this is pretty good, and then bang, the last 20 minutes go crazy. But
there's another like horror movie or something that's out right now, too.
Well,
everything's a horror movie. You can't make a movie without an alien anymore.
Well, I don't think...
What's it called?
Backrooms.
So
that's
stupid.
That's the one that's making
a lot
of money.
Can't we have a good story anymore without an alien?
Well, Steven Spielberg loves an alien, John. You know that.
Look, I'll have aliens... If I can get away from comic books, I'll have aliens or horror movies.
Yeah, and the aliens look like human beings.
Thank God The Boys was over, too. I stopped watching that 2 years ago. Two seasons ago.
So random.
I'm glad that's done, too.
Why did you even do that?
Dad, you watch The Boys? I stopped watching after season three.
Yeah, no. I couldn't watch it when something shot out of that guy.
Well, I was still in on that one. I was like, whoa.
No.
Don't sneeze.
No, when you sneeze and kill people with it, okay? No.
The most gruesome death imaginable.
We're done. Mopey and Michael.
Mopey and Michael next. Yeah, Mopey and Michael.
Next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Bye, bitch.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.